Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello and welcome to another episode of The Lab. Today I'm joined by Sam Cornish. How are you doing, Sam?
Yeah, I'm doing good, thanks, mate. How are you?
I'm good. I'm really good. Really good. Really, really good. I'm feeling kind of very hopeful for the immediate future of Tottenham, because we've spent a large part of this season without our first team squad, let alone our first 11. And it seems like they're all back. And if that is a reality, basically what's going to happen, though, is we've got our first team back and then we're going to get beat by Brighton because we're Spurs, right? That's what happens. At the time of recording, we haven't played Brighton. So there is a fear of that.
It's written on the wall, isn't it? I think I can see it coming tomorrow, you know, like the 89th minute winner, Mitoma.
But, right, yeah. You know,
it's going to be okay.
If people don't know, Sam, how would you describe your relationship with the club, and what is it that you do on match day other than go and support the boys?
Yeah, I mean, I just say I'm a regular match-going fan, but I just happened to take a camera with me. And over the last, I guess it's nearly been a few years, I've just started putting my photos out into the world that I've been taking on match days, and people have taken a liking to them. A little bit, sort of.
I think you're playing it down a little bit there, Sam. I mean, they've taken a liking to them for sure, and you've built up a good audience. And I think we were quite early adopters to your work, The Fighting Cock. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, you guys have been amazing, to be honest. I
wasn't fishing there, but I'm just asking if that is a. Were we early adopters to the Sam Cornish hype train?
Yeah, massively, man. Like one of the first, if not the first. Yeah, I remember reaching out to you, just asking if you could put him out into the world, and yeah, it was a huge help. Like that first little step of sort of finding an audience that I quite frankly didn't have.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what it was is when you sent the images across, it was clear that the work was significantly good. Yeah, it was of a level that I hadn't seen at Spurs for many, many years, and Spurs do have our fan base has created people who often, actually all of them, not from Tottenham, or not from, some of them were you yourself included, but Martin, who produced the book a few years back, what was that book called again?
Can't Smile Without You.
That's right. So Can't Smile Without You, it was an incredible piece of photojournalism. It was an essay in Tottenham, and our fandom. And yourself, you're from Australia, which I want to talk to you about because of Postecoglou and what that means. So we'll get into that in a bit. But the one before that was Paul Womble, who created Tottenham Boys We Are Here, and he was from the north and wasn't a Spurs fan, and created a piece of photojournalism that should be recognised the world over, but seemingly weirdly only known by Spurs fans. It never really escaped our fan base, and Paul Womble never pushed that work. It was a piece of photojournalism that he did for his university degree, and as a young kid from, I think it's from Leeds, certainly from Yorkshire, he came down and followed Spurs home and away, and in our season where we spent the entirety of it in Division 1, or what was, no, sorry, what would be the Championship now, but Division 2 back then. And your work leans into all of that. Like, it's Can't Smart Value, with Tottenham Boys We Are Here, and now what you're doing. Were you aware of that you're sort of tapping into a legacy that already exists?
Yeah, it was only thanks to you guys, actually. So I've been a listener of the Fighting Cock for a long time, and I remember hearing the episode about Martin and checking out his work as a result. So his work was a big inspiration to what I've been doing. And Tottenham Boys We Are Here, I remember just checking out basically what I could find on it. But I remember it being like really difficult to get a hold of, because there was like no copies, no physical copies going about.
They sell for, I mean, sometimes, you know, around £700 to £800 on eBay when you get a decent version of it. They're very difficult to get.
But I remember seeing some pictures that people had put up online and thinking how cool it was, and just amazing work. So I was definitely aware of it.
The story of Tottenham Boys We Are Here is fascinating, because, like I say, it was a student that came down from the north, attached himself to Tottenham, and went on this escapade, this adventure with us as we went through our attempt to immediately get promoted back to Division 1. And this was of an age where hooliganism was in full throes. And what he captured was, a first-hand experience of some of that, but also about the culture around supporting Tottenham Hotspur. And what he did was he essentially produced a photocopy of his pictures, and produced 100 copies that were sold on the high road. Those 100 copies were sold out within, days. When I say they were sold on the Tottenham high road, there's like souvenir stalls that would sell match day programs and scarves and whatnot. And they were stocking this book by this kid who'd taken pictures and interviewed some Spurs fans. And we sold 100 copies, and then it was so popular that there was an effort to get more out, so there was a second run. And at that point, I think he'd removed himself completely from Tottenham Boys We Are Here as a piece of art or social journalism, however you describe it. And it was Spurs fans that then started producing it. And then in the 90s, there was I think it's called Colormax. It was a way of printing color photocopies, basically, but in HD, where this book was reproduced. And it was at that point, and then it's that version that sells for a lot of money, because the quality of what was originally the original source material is replicated in these Colormax editions of it. So if you could get a hold of one of these copies in the 90s, you can see the detail in all its glory. But what happened in between those, because it was so popular and people saw an opportunity to make some money, there would be photocopies of it, and then photocopies of photocopies, and then just the quality would degrade significantly. And then, like I say, these sort of higher definition repros were produced in the 90s, maybe even early 2000s, and they're really sought after. And apparently, you might be interested in this, Sam, is that Paul Womble has bin bags in his loft, in his house, wherever he lives now, full of photos that never didn't make the cut. And Rob White, I was speaking to Rob White, but we were looking, me and my mate Charlie, who, you know, works on the Fighting Cock as well, we were looking at a way of producing a film about this book. And we managed to make contact with Paul Womble. And he said at this time he's not interested in talking because he's gone on to do high fashion photography. He's worked at, he lectures at universities all around the world. He's had a really successful career. For him, this is just a this book was just a moment while he was at university. And what he created was something incredible for Tottenham.
And something that means so much to so many people, but it was just, yeah, like you said, a moment in time for him.
It was everything. It was the first it was the first example of anything like that in club football. And like moving forward to your work, and that's what I'm saying, like Sam, is like why I've been so impressed with what you're doing is, for me, and I'm not sure you're aware of it, but for me, how I see your work is a continuation of that. You're capturing moments in a way that no one else, as far as I can tell, in fan culture is doing.
Thanks, man. I'm
not blowing smoke up your ass. I'm just saying that there isn't anything else out there like what you're doing. So do you recognize that?
Yeah, I think so. I think there's like, I've seen bits and bobs from people at other clubs that are doing really cool things. There's a guy up in Newcastle that has an Instagram under the name of Floodlights On. He shoots everything on 35mm film.
Wow.
And it's absolutely gorgeous. There's very, very few people that are sort of, yeah, fully focused on, you know, the culture and the things that are sort of happening off the pitch, outside the 90 minutes, in the pubs, on the streets.
Do you think you have an infatuation with that because, and through your work and your photography, you can see that that's what you're interested in, yeah? So when, as a photographer, your subject is the example of what's going on inside your head. You photograph what you find interesting, and what you find interesting is, in part, fan culture at Tottenham Hotspur. But do you think part of why you're so interested in that is because that you're not from here, that you've arrived, and it isn't something you've grown up with? Is that fair to say?
It's exactly why. I think when I've tried to explain it before, it's been because it's growing up in Australia on the other side of the world. You know, your relationship with football is like very transactional. And it is flick on the TV at sort of 2 a.m, watch a game, either go back to bed, stay up, then go to school or go to work. And that's kind of how you, yeah, consume football. And it always left me wanting more with the culture. And yeah, so that part of football has always been unattainable for me, being on the other side of the world. And then sort of showed up here 7 years ago and basically just lost my mind at being a part of it and wanted to document every single sort of meaningless second to most people, but it was everything to me. And yeah, I just find it so special. That's just like culture that's been built, you know, on decades and decades, and families have histories and routines that, yeah, like I said, might just feel like an average Saturday to them, but I just find it so fascinating. And yeah, I love that I've been able to start to build up, not quite bin bags in my loft, but archives on the computer of these pictures.
Why are you Spurs then? So like you're watching, you're following the Premier League and following Tottenham from the other side of the planet. How does a Australian, because it's a different, there's been a massive influx in interest in Tottenham since Postecoglou took over, but that was happening. When did you pick Spurs up as your club? How did that happen? Why are you so interested? Why have you become such a massive fan to the point where you go home and away?
Yeah, so I basically arrived here 7 years ago, and I needed to be on the football every weekend. And yeah, my dad basically raised me as a United fan, basically like every other kid in Australia. You're either Liverpool, United, or you don't watch football.
Is that still the same sort of now, or was it just when you was a kid? Like, I wonder how much impact Postecoglou's had on. Actually,
I'd be interested to find out. To be fair,
yeah.
I'm not spending so much time over there anymore, obviously. But when I was a kid, yeah, massively. And like, I used to get pelters at school for even being interested in football, because where I grew up, it was very heavily rugby league and cricket dominated. And yeah, being interested in football, you were a bit of an outlier. Like, people played football, but you know, watching Premier League football, I didn't have too many people at school growing up that I could talk to about the game. It was just sort of me and my dad and then the guys that I'd play on the weekend with, you know, that you'd be able to talk about football. So it's like quite an unusual experience. So that probably leans into why I was craving so much to be a part of the atmosphere and the culture.
So if it was United, what made you switch to Spurs then?
Yeah, I mean, like when I got off the plane, like moving here.
Oh, I see.
I wanted to be going to the football every week, and sort of landed in London. And then obviously it couldn't be Arsenal.
It could have been Arsenal. Like, why couldn't it be Arsenal?
I just hated Arsenal, like, from a young age, and so obviously that meant Tottenham was an easy decision. But also, I moved to East London, so basically, as the crow flies, Tottenham was almost the closest. I think West Ham was slightly closer, but being at Wembley, it meant that I could get a ticket every week. So it was a bit of a no-brainer. I could go watch Tottenham every week and not have, you know, a dilemma trying to get a ticket. It was just there and accessible for me. So I did that. I didn't miss any home games, and I was basically living my dream. And through going every week, I just fell into amazing crowds of people that, you know, some of them are my best friends now, and some of the most amazing people I've met in my life are friendship groups that this club has opened me up to, and it's sort of become more and more special every week through the people.
You say that because I would say the same. I'd say Spurs have connected me to my best friends, people that are the most important people to me in my life outside of my direct family, my wife and kids and whatnot, my wife and children. It's amazing what Tottenham Hotspur can do and what your football club can do in addition to meeting good people. Because if they're Spurs, typically they're good people. And man, it's an amazing thing. I want to ask you a question about the fact that you take your camera to football. Now, previously that's been an issue. It's been an issue for Martin, and it was an issue for Paul Womble, and they got round it through persistence, as I remember. What's the reaction been like from you? And then I get, like, the landscape of our respective the respective time periods is different. Like, Paul Womble was doing it when, you know, all bets were off. Like, it was the you know, football hooliganism was described as the English disease by Margaret Thatcher back in the 80s, something that she was desperate to eradicate. Have you felt or experienced any kind of negativity when you've been out taking pictures of Spurs and the fans?
Not so much negativity. I think that'd be too strong a word. I think maybe some people don't know, but like, you're not actually allowed to be taking a camera into the football stadiums. There's like, the rules are pretty loud and clear if you want to look them up through the club's website and the Premier League or whatnot.
You can't off the pitch, can you?
No, you definitely can't do any of that. But and I don't have accreditation or a pass. Not meant to be doing what I'm doing. But you know, we move on.
But you spoke you've talked to the club, haven't you?
I've tried to. I haven't had any success with them.
Have you been shut down though? Have you been in a situation where they won't respond to you, or you've just been dismissed?
The latter, but yeah, I'll keep trying.
They 100% know what you're doing, without a shadow of a doubt. They know everything, and you haven't got how many people have followed you on Instagram? Is it 11,000?
Yeah, almost. Yeah,
Yeah, you can't be taking photos inside the stadium and get the level of traction that you're getting without the club knowing what you're doing. And especially because you've actually been in a situation where you've been photographing the players. Madison, there's an incredible photo you've got of Madison.
That was a fun day, that one. The media access day. It was a proper pinch yourself moment, that.
They definitely know, Sam. They definitely know. It's about what would be your gain to get what would it be that you'd want from the club if you could have a conversation with them?
I think it would sort of go back to the original question, any sort of negative connotations with having the camera in there. So like, for instance, being turned away. I know that I'm a pretty sure bet getting the camera into each home games, but it's the aways where, you know, there's like that sort of, if I'm sat on a train for up to Goodison last weekend, I was on a coach for, I don't know, near enough 5 hours door to door. And then I've got my camera around me, and you know, if they tell me that I can't take it in, then it's a bit of a problem, right? I can't just duck home 20 minutes on the train and drop it off and be back for kickoff.
But what do they know that the camera's on you?
Yeah, they do. I just try and downplay it, basically. So you've seen my camera, right? Like, it looks pretty vintagey.
It's not like a DSLR with a large lens on it.
No, like the lens is really small. It doesn't look like a super duper serious bit of kit, and that's partly because it's not going to be able to take broadcast quality pictures, and that's not what I'm trying to do. All I'd want is to be able to continue to do what I do and not have the threat of having my livelihood taken away from me when I'm halfway up the country.
Because that would be massive, right? If you lost your camera, that would be everything, right?
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+. Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law.
See terms and conditions. 18+. Yeah, but it'd be a bit of a problem.
My question wasn't necessarily aimed about the difficulties of clubs making, you know, or stewards making your life a nightmare. It was more the reaction from the your fellow fans. Because typically cameras at football previously, before the smartphone, to be fair, when I was a kid growing up, it wasn't something that you would necessarily do willy-nilly. You wouldn't be taking photos of other fans. But obviously times have changed. Like, has there never been any negative reaction to what you're doing at all?
No. Like, I mean, if people haven't seen my work, a lot of it is, and I kind of get pelters for it sometimes, but a lot of my work is, you know, the back of people's heads, or it's...
Why would you get pelters for that? Because they want their faces in it.
Some people, I don't think, understand the style that I'm going for. I think a lot of people are just like, why is there all this other shit in the picture when you're trying to take a photo of...
Oh, so you're being critiqued artistically.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So, that's fine. I can take it. I've got pretty thick skin. But the point I was trying to make is that I try not to take too many... I very rarely will have someone's full face in a photo, or, you know, I'd never put a photo, I would never take a picture of somebody that, you know, could make them lose their job, or, you know, I don't have the hooliganism to worry about in that aspect
But that is an important part of someone who is taking photos, is being respectful of the people he's capturing or she's capturing. It's like it's like the first and foremost when you're taking images that you're respectful of the impact of those images. and you do it. You do it correctly. You do it right. Like, what, everything you do, everything you've... Like, I've been following Spurs since the 80s. My first game as a four-year-old was in 85. And what you're creating feels like what I grew up watching. And that, I don't know if that means anything to you.
Yeah, that's really nice.
But it is. It's like that explosion in the stand. I'm watching, as we talk right now, the animation that you create. I'm going to talk to you about that, actually, how you do it, just from a personal curiosity. But watching the pitch, the photos you're taking are, and they're what I experience when I'm at the game. That's what you're able to capture with your setup.
It's what I'm trying to do, basically. And I was saying to someone the other night that what I'm trying to do is just create the pictures that, like, the 9 or 10 year old version of myself would have wanted to see back in Australia. And I think maybe that's why so many people that have followed my work recently have enjoyed it, because, you know, most of them probably are on the other side of the world, or they can't be at the football for whatever reason. Mm. And it allows them to feel maybe that little bit closer to what's happening on the pitch and in the stands, where, yeah, like the broadcast photography doesn't really offer that. It hopefully just feels a little bit more real and tactile, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it's almost like, how would you describe it? Like, candid. It's like it's hidden, that you're capturing a match day, and you're given an insight to what it's like to follow Spurs or follow a football club in England on any given match day. And it's almost like you're not part of the conversation, that everything in your lens is being demonstrated and as evidence of what it's like to go and watch Tottenham Hotspur play. And that your ego is removed. I don't know if I'm going too deep here, but this is the way it makes me, when I've been thinking about it, it's you're not a part of it. You're just merely offering a window into what it's like. And I'm looking at a picture of Richarlison scoring and celebrating, going down his knees against Brentford the other week. And he is framed by an arm in the air with a fist in the air. And it's of a fan who's celebrating. And there's a beautiful relationship between what Richarlison has just done, the emotion he's feeling, and by proxy, the emotion that the fans are feeling in the stadium. And in one photograph, you've captured it. And that's what's so fascinating and amazing about it, Sam. It really, really is good.
Thanks, man.
No, you're welcome. So you're an Australian who has adopted Spurs as his team. You're doing this incredible work. You've been going to watch Spurs, what did you say, 7 years?
Yeah, 7 years now.
So that would be the end of Pochettino's tenureship.
So I caught the last two seasons of Poch.
Was you taking photos then?
On an iPhone, so they don't get much airtime these days.
but what was the process then? While you were taking, was it that you just wanted cool pictures for your Instagram, or what was you doing? What was the process of capturing? When you say on your iPhone,
it just wasn't.
You'd be deliberate with it. Was it, I'm taking my iPhone, I'm going to take pictures every game, or something else?
To a lesser extent, I think. It was kind of like me just wanting to make sure that I'd captured some memories. You know, like I took my sister to Wembley when we played Chelsea there, when Son ran through the whole team and scored that amazing goal. And like, I've got pictures of me and her that day from the stands, and I'll always have them, but I kind of wish I had my camera to sort of, you know, make them feel that little bit more tactile, like we were saying before. But yeah, the intention was there to sort of document. I think I've just taken it to another level.
Yeah, man. I'm just skipping through your images as as we're talking, and there's an incredible photo you've got of, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. There's, and if you want to look at any of these photos that we're talking about, just check out Sam Liam Cornish on Instagram, and you'll see all those these photographs. But there is a picture of a lad, a bloke, probably in his 40s, like by the back of his head, I can tell, late 40s. And he's got a flat cap on with a Spurs emblem on the back of the cap. And in the other direction, there are fans walking in the other, like against the flow of the way he's walking. And the almost all of the photograph is a blurred image of someone else's shoulder. And it's beautiful. It's beautiful. Like it's you've got the Spurs emblem. Do you know the photograph I'm talking about?
Yeah, that was from Goodison at the weekend.
Yeah, it looks like Goodison. Yeah, and the fans from it coming in the other direction, were they Everton fans?
No, there was just the shit show of getting into the ground. That was everybody 12:30 kickoff. Everyone showing up at the same time, trying to get through the turnstiles. It was just a bit of a.
But I've been in that situation since a kid. I remember being tiny and looking up at my old man and his mates and taking us to the football, and this flow of bodies trying to get into, we're all trying to get into the same place, and it really does capture that the mayhem of being outside a ground trying to get in, especially Goodison with sort of residential streets around. It's a bit like Tottenham, to be fair, before the new stadium went up. There must have been some pressure when Postecoglou came in as an Australian. Something you never anticipated, right?
Yeah, so I vividly remember listening back to the Fighting Cock podcast when he was at the bottom of all of your lists. rightly so. And I just remember seeing, like, the first day that his name started to pop onto a few people's lists, and, like, the initial feeling of excitement that, you know, this guy that I've sort of been watching since.
So you was aware of him? You was acutely aware of him?
100%. Like, I used to go watch Sydney FC, which was my local team, and his Brisbane roar would literally smash our team to bits.
Right, okay. Let me ask you about Brisbane roar. Like, because that even somehow his tenureship at Spurs has transcended, sorry, his tenureship at Brisbane Roar has transcended all of the work he's done in Japan and Scotland, and to the point where I need to know about how good this Brisbane Roar side was, and why was it significant that he got them playing in the way that they did? Like, what was it that was so impressive about what they did?
Which no team had played football like that before in Australia, or certainly not, you know, since I'd been watching it. They were nicknamed Rawcelona for a reason. They kept the ball, they attacked. You couldn't get it off them, and they would just beat you by three or four. And it was just madness. They even people that weren't interested in our national league or football in Australia were talking about them purely because they set a record, and I'm pretty sure it still stands for the most. It was either wins in a row or longest streak of like going undefeated in all sports. So like any code, which, you know, was making headlines that Postecoglou's Brisbane Roar have basically set an Australian record, and didn't really give a choice to the country to whether to talk about it or not. It was just so impressive, and was significant in Australia that style of football was had made it to our shores. Because whether people know or not, like we've always been quite an agricultural football country, I think, like in terms of the way that we played in our national team, and it was wicked, even though it wasn't our team, to see that somebody was like really, really turning up the style and playing classy football every week, and it did feel very significant.
How long ago was that?
Off the top of my head, I'm gonna get it wrong, but yeah,
just guess roughly. It doesn't matter. ballpark?
Maybe 15 years ago.
15 years ago. So you're this is crazy, right? Because you're a kid and you're watching your teams, Sydney. What did you say, Sydney?
Sydney FC.
Sydney FC. I'm full disclosure, I know fuck all about Australian football.
They're the juggernaut of the Australian league.
Are they? Did they win today?
They are. You know, it's a bit of a yo-yo national league at the moment. That's a whole other podcast that no one's going to listen to.
Okay, so 15 years ago, you're watching Ange Postecoglou destroy your beloved Sydney FC. And in that time space, he has gone from Australia to Japan to Scotland to becoming the manager of, well, certainly within the biggest five in the Premier League. But if you look at it financially, probably biggest fourth in the Premier League and you know, in the top 10 in world football, managing that side, and you've somehow creeped across the globe to just join Tottenham just in time, a couple of years before. I'll get you as early, but a couple of years before to see your fellow countrymen join the club as well, and then you must be absolutely buzzing, like doing backflips, Sam. Like, not only have you like blossomed a career in photojournalism and football journalism, and God knows what you're going to go on to do, and I suspect very good things, but you also got your own countrymen managing a football club that everybody bloody loves, playing the best football I've ever seen at Spurs, or among the best football I've ever seen at Spurs. What the fuck is going through your head,
mate? It's insane. But it's, like, I was absolutely, I can't even explain the levels of excitement. The conversations my dad and I were having were just like, obviously grinning.
So he's still following Premier League football and Manchester United. He's still fiercely behind that, is he? Or is he?
He's, I'll tell you what, he's up watching Tottenham at 3 a.m. and he's fucking buzzing. Like, he's sending me, you know, he'll send me a text as we're about to kick off. He'll just say, I'm up. And which is crazy.
What time would it be on, like, 3 p.m. kickoff on a Saturday in Sydney? What would it be?
Depends on the daylight saving hours, but I think tomorrow's kickoff will be like 1:30 for him. And, you know,
how old is your dad?
My dad is 67.
He's 67 and he's staying up. A Man United fan, he's staying up to watch Spurs play.
Yeah, he just loves it. He's fully coised.
He loves Spurs, doesn't he? He loves Spurs now.
He loves it. He loves it. And he'll just message me. I'll be at work and I'll get a text through from my dad just being like, do you think Basuma's going to play this weekend? And he's invested now. He can't help himself. But yeah, I think, I guess to answer your question a little bit further, like, I was just beyond excited, but in the same way, and maybe even more outweighed the excitement, was the fear of having to defend my man to our fan base that maybe weren't ready to watch their team play like this high line suicide football, you know, playing out from the back. I knew that was coming, but it obviously started a lot better than I think we all expected.
So you knew Postecoglou's football. You understood what Postecoglou was about before any of us did.
Yeah, I knew pretty well. So, like, my favorite football memory ever is watching us win the Asian Cup, and I was with my dad in Australia when he beat South Korea in 2015.
You're talking about Australia.
Yeah, sorry.
When Australia. You say us, I feel like Tottenham, and I was like, we haven't Asia Cup. What is that? The Peace Cup? I didn't know what you're talking about for a second. So yeah, you won the Asian Cup. Yeah,
and yeah, so being there, sort of watching that with my dad was like super special. So I mean, I've had some good time watching his football, but by no means am I, you know, a football journalist or someone working for, yeah, a broadcast outlet that is able to analyze his every move. But I knew what we were getting ourselves into.
And so you knew that there would be moments like right now. I've watched Tottenham Hotspur in the last 5 years, and the Mourinho and Conte period were boring, for want of better expression. for the large part, it was difficult to watch Spurs play that way. But with Postecoglou, I can't not watch the screen. And it's for fear and also for expectation that we're going to absolutely destroy this team. Look at us controlling the ball. But also, one mistake would mean that they're going to get in and score against us. And I'm not sure in the long run like how good that's going to be for all of our hearts. But maybe that is just the way Postecoglou is going to play. And if we can get in better players that won't fuck up and won't have any issue with retaining possession in high pressure moments, that maybe something special would happen. But it's more of a challenge than I thought it was going to be, and I'm gleeful of it. I really am. Like the game against Brentford, I didn't take my eyes off the screen once, not once, that I turned my head away from the. I mean, I paced around the front room, and my old man, he was saying, he was like, "Sit down, you. Sit down. Why are you making me nervous?" And I'm like, "Dad, I am bloody nervous. Like, I need
to do it.
I need to walk. I need to move. I need to do anything but other than accept what I'm watching, and which what might be us conceding a late goal as we did against Everton."
But isn't it nice for?
I felt alive.
It's it, man. Like it. Like for me in particular, like football. And it's like it's an exciting thing, but it's also an incredibly sad thing if you think about it in the long term. That for me, probably football will never mean more to me than it does right now. And to go from the apathy that we had over the last 4 years of, you know, doom scrolling on our phones to just get our eyes off of watching whatever was on our screens or in the stadium. To the point now.
Doom scrolling. Exactly what it is. Is that a coined term?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you'd be able to find that one on Urban Dictionary.
It felt like that for a long time.
Yeah, and I just think like it's as maybe high stress and like you said, detrimental to our blood pressure that it is. It feels really good to feel good again, and bad to be fair, just to feel anything.
When did you start taking pictures of Spurs then?
So I bought my first camera nearly 3 years ago. And basically as soon as I got it, I took it straight to the ground. I knew that I bought the camera with that purpose, that I wanted to start taking this really seriously.
Well, and you'd never taken a photograph before that point, other than your iPhone?
Yeah, other than... I'd basically played around with a few friends' cameras before, but it wasn't until then. And like you look back at some of my first pictures, and they're shocking. There's a few good ones in there, but it's definitely been a learning process over the last few years.
And
hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Yeah, so how have you sort of got to a position where it was shocking to the point where, you know, what you're producing right now is excellent?
I think it's just putting the effort, right? Like the, you know, the 10,000 hours rule. I don't think I've reached 10,000 hours behind the camera yet at the football, but I think also like me finding my style and what I liked and what I was finding interesting at the football as well. And maybe a little bit less so, but what people were wanting to see.
Yeah. There's a number of images that you produced with Spurs players in there. The Madison one. There's Sonny. Do you know what I'm talking about? That you got access to the players in a way that you wouldn't have normally got access to them. What was it like being with them, like being in the room with them and being able to use them as your subject? What was that like? Like you got to sort of...
So basically what happened from that, it was the like made one of the craziest things that's ever happened to me in my life, that I just got a follower on Instagram and I was just checking out who it was, clicked on it, and saw that they worked as the head of creative for the Premier League. And I thought that I was being catfished. Like, I genuinely thought that someone was just going to try and play a prank on me. And
why?
I don't know, man. You know, there's weird people in the world.
Yeah.
Or it was one of my mates that were just like, yeah, come on, this would be a good bit. I reached out to the guy basically because I was wanting to just ask. I was asking for a bit of advice, basically, how to take this to the next level, and you know, if they had any words of wisdom for me. And he just asked me if I was going to be busy on a date in August, and I was like, well, I'm not now. Like, I'm dropped everything. And it turned out that he wanted me to shoot some photos at the media access day at the Tottenham training ground, which is the before the season starts. They basically capture all the content for all of the promos, and you know, when you log on to like Fantasy Premier League, there's the stills on there and videos that they create for this, and you know, your Sky Sports pre-match little clips that you might see of like Postecoglou folding his arms. Yeah. They have a day where there's sort of 10 media outlets that come through and capture all of that. And yeah, he asked me to come through and take some behind the scenes footage for Premier League Productions. And yeah, man, it blew my head off. And it was the first time that I'd kind of done something like that before. So I was, yeah, shitting myself, but at the same time, just buzzing, because it was, I knew how much of an opportunity, but you know, how incredible that experience was going to be, you know, face to face with, yeah, it, as like a 30-year-old, it feels weird to say heroes, but guys that you spend hours and hours talking to your mates about and thinking about, and just think about all the time that you spend thinking or talking about Tottenham, and to be immersed in it like that was really special.
Yeah, mate, I'm just looking at the pictures now, like the picture you have of Harry Kane, and he's still in the Spurs shirt, and he obviously went off to do what he did. But yeah, man, it's incredible work. It really is.
Thank you.
Amazing, amazing stuff, Sam. If people want to find your work, I'm sure they will after listening to this. What's the best way for them to find you?
I'm on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, all under the same handle. So it's Sam Liam Cornish. And then I've got another little page on Instagram that I kind of use as a, I guess you can call it like a diary, or I just kind of say what I'm thinking with a picture from anywhere, but that's called Black and White Heart Lane. And all the pictures are obviously in black and white.
Amazing. Thank you so much, mate.
No, thank you.
If you're still listening to The Lab, then please go to wherever you get your podcasts and rate us 5 stars and review as well, because if you do that, the more people are going to be able to access the podcast and we'll be able to do more of what we've just listened to. Okay, so thank you very much, Sam, and up the Spurs, and we'll see you next time.
Network.